Radio.
You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Tim Link, and I'd like to thank you for joining us today. My special guest today is best-selling author and senior editor of the New York Times, Jana Elder. And Jana will be here talking about her recently released book, Huck, which illustrates the true story of how one lost toy poodle puppy taught his family and the whole New Jersey town involved in the search about never giving up the search for the animal, and talks about happy endings and the challenges and triumph that Janet went through in her life. So we're going to touch a little bit on all of that. So it's a fantastic book, very heartwarming, and it teaches you all to keep persevering. So we'll talk to Janet Elder here in just a moment. But first, I'd like to talk to you about the importance of restraining your pets when traveling. Now, there's some interesting articles that came out on this recently, but as we're coming up closely, believe it or not, we're getting close to the spring break time, so we're going to be doing a lot of traveling, and a lot of us choose to bring our animals with us, especially our dogs. And often, though, I see that people don't really restrain their dogs in a proper fashion, whether we're talking about putting them inside of a kennel or a cage, secured environment, or attaching them with a special device to the seat belt. Often we just put our pets in our back seats, or we see them in the passenger side, or we see them, God forbid, on our laps as we're driving down the road. And those are not safe environments for the pets, not safe for you as well. So we'll talk to you a little bit about restraining your pets when traveling. There's a Be Smart Ride Safe program that's out there. It's Be Smart Ride Safe program that I read about recently online. And the program is designed to educate people about the dangers associated with having an unrestrained pet in your car if you were to get into an accident. You know, if you've ever been in an automobile accident, you know that you don't have a lot of time and a lot of control on the situation. It happens so quickly. And once another car is coming towards you or up from behind you and hits you, you know, it happens in a split second. And if you have a pet in the car, they can become injured when they are not restrained. So even if you're only driving 35 miles per hour, a 60-pound unrestrained dog can cause an impact of 2,700 pounds as he or she slams into the car seat or the windshield or into another passenger. That's 2,700 pounds. So that's a lot of weight coming your way, and a lot of injury can be happening to your animal and the others in the car as well. You know, another danger is if rescue workers, the people that are coming there to help you with the accident, if they have to rescue you and your pet, hinders the progress by acting aggressively toward them or interfering in the situation, they may not be able to get to you and or your pet in that situation. And as you know, animals become scared and somewhat unpredictable, disoriented when an accident happens when you're in an automobile, just like we do. So I'd like to encourage you, for your own safety and for your pet's safety, please transport your pets in a crate or put a seatbelt on them with a specially designed harness, especially designed for your pets. Put that on them or use any other commercially approved means for restraining the animal. They'll have a safe, enjoyable trip. You'll have a safe, enjoyable trip. It'll be comfortable for everybody, and everybody will get to their destination happy and healthy. So I encourage you to do that. For more information about this topic and a link to the article, please visit my blog at Pet Life Radio. You'll go to the Animal Rights blog. Click on the wonderful icon there. It's at PetLifeRadio.com, and that'll lead you to the article, the blog, and the link. So restrain those pets. Have fun. Have fun on your trips. Keep everybody safe, happy, and healthy. So we're going to take a quick commercial break, but we're going to be right back with Jana Elder right after these messages.
Sit. Stay. We'll be right back after a short pause. Well, four to be exact.
Love your pets but wish their medications were a lot less expensive? They are at 1-800-PetMeds. You'll not only save on flea and heartworm medications, but on prescriptions for arthritis, incontinence, thyroid, and more. And you get fast service, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, our licensed pharmacists ensure accuracy, monitor drug interaction, and more. See why over 5 million people have trusted their pet's health to 1-800-PetMeds, America's largest pet pharmacy. Call now or order online.
Go to PetMeds.com/Lucky, L-U-C-K-Y, to get 10% off any order and free shipping on orders of $39 or more at PetMeds.com.
FTD's network of over 40,000 florists around the world have been creating beautiful handcrafted arrangements for 100 years. Each arrangement is delivered the same day and backed by FTD's 7-day satisfaction guarantee. For a century, people have trusted their most important occasions to the flower experts at FTD.
Since Pet Life Radio is all about puppy dogs and flowers, our listeners, that's you, can get a 20% discount on your order. Just go to fleurop.com and use the code LUCKIES20 at checkout. FLEUROP.com. Code word LUCKYS and the number 20.
How would you like your business to reach out and invite in our audience?
We have a brand new trademark concept called InfoSeeds.
InfoSeeds are short 20-second seeds of information about your place of business, practice, or service.
We only have a limited number of slots left. For more information, visit PetLifeRadio.com. Click on sponsorship information.
There you can listen to a sample of InfoSeed or email us at
PetLifeRadio.com.
Remember, only a limited number of opportunities are available.
Aquariums and pond keeping are among the most popular of all hobbies in the United States and throughout the world. In fact, fish are probably the most numerous pet in people's homes and in their businesses. In Aquarium Mania, we'll learn more about the secret and not-so-secret life of fish and other inhabitants, the basics of good aquarium keeping, the complexities of the aquarium industry, and the science and art that surround this fascinating hobby. I'm your host, Roy Anong, and I'd like to thank you for joining us. Aquarium Mania.
Every week, on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com. Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Pet Life Radio. Thanks for joining me today. And I'm here with senior editor of the New York Times, Janet Elder, who has her recently released best-selling book, Huck, a remarkable true story of how one lost puppy taught a family and a whole town about hope and happy endings. Janet Elder, welcome to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, it's our pleasure. We love the work that you do. We love the story about Huck, and we appreciate you putting that together and sharing it with us. Tell us a little bit about the experiences, about, you know, what inspired you to write the book.
I had, it's a truly remarkable story. It's a true story of something that happened to our family and to our dog Huck. And I had told the story so many times to so many colleagues, all of whom said, you have to write this as a book. This is the all-American story, and best of all, it has a happy ending. You have to write it as a book. And I thought that it would really help people who were trying to figure out in life how to hang on against the odds. It's a book not just about finding a lost dog, but really a book about tenacity and hope.
Exactly, because the elements of the book are so wide, you know, because we're talking about not only the challenges of trying to select an animal that's right and perfect for your family, because you live in Manhattan, which is always a challenge to have a puppy or a dog there, and also the once you go on your vacation, Huck comes up missing, and you have to break all your vacation plans to go back and search for Huck and bring him back home, and then your own triumphs over breast cancer, and all this has happened at the same time.
That's right. That's right. Huck had really become kind of a talisman in all of our lives. He was really our symbol of hope and of life and of moving forward. We got him at the end of my treatments for breast cancer. We got him, we had promised our young son that he would be able to have a dog at the end of all of my treatments. And it became a way of getting through the treatments focused on something other than what was happening, focused on something other than the cancer. You know, it was much better to have conversations with our son Michael about his new dog and dog names and where was the dog going to sleep and those kinds of things than to have conversations about, is mommy going to live? Is mommy going to survive? When is mommy going to lose her hair? So Huck had really become a symbol of hope for us.
Yeah, and I think Huck also has become not only a great teacher, but a great healer as well.
Absolutely. I only wish that I had had him when I was going through the treatments, because it would have been such a comfort to have him sitting on my lap. But he has been a healer.
Yeah, you know, I'm a firm believer that animals, they obviously come to us. There's a reason for us them coming to our lives, whether we go out to where we believe we're going to go out and get them from a breeder or from a rescue. We think we're taking that proactive approach. But actually, I do believe they come to us at the right and perfect time for the right and perfect reasons, and we may
I
not be able to identify
that. Yeah, I completely agree with that. And I've had so many letters from readers of the book who've told me their stories about getting their own dogs and what it meant in their lives to have a dog at a critical moment. So I completely agree with you. I think it's kind of a relationship that is just faded in a way.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you adopted or got Huck from a breader in Florida.
That's
tell
right.
about tell us about how that happened, and more importantly, how'd you know he was going to be the right dog? Because I understand that he took a plane ride when you first got him.
Well, it was very funny. I mean, I confess to being a Manhattanite, and my sister who lives in New Jersey makes fun of me constantly, and it's well deserved. I have all of the usual city, you know, hang-ups about all of these kinds of things. And I really couldn't imagine how we could possibly live with a dog, even though I had grown up with a dog. We had a house then, and we had a yard, and that seemed like a good way to have a dog. But having a dog in a small apartment seemed very difficult. So even though my son had been pleading, begging for a dog for many, many years, we had resisted. And he, in turn, had fallen in love with practically every dog he met. But there was one particular dog who lived in our building, a little dog named Rocket, who he just absolutely fell madly, madly in love with. And Rocket is really an adorable dog. So when we told Michael that we were going to get him a dog, he talked about different breeds, but in the end, it was no surprise that he wanted a dog just like Rocket. So I didn't know about the whole world of animal rescue dogs then, or I'm sure I would have gone that way, but we went to the same breeder that Rocket had come from. And we called the woman, and she told us that she had one little boy dog, and he sounded just like the perfect dog for us, so we went ahead. But we live in New York, as I said, and she was in Florida, so we went through that process of having to wait at the airport for a dog, which was very dramatic, and of course I cried the minute the dog arrived. But, you know, in its way, that too seemed like a fated thing to end up with what turned out to be Rocket's brother. So that's how we came to get Huck from a breeder.
Absolutely. You know, and dog is the right and perfect time once again.
That's right. It's a perfect match.
Yes. Now, when Huck went on
it. Match made in heaven.
Match made in heaven. That's absolutely correct. Now, when Huck decided to go on his little escapade, walk us through that story briefly where you had him with your sister. What was your first reaction when you got the phone call?
Well, what happened was when the breast cancer treatments were all over, everyone kept saying to me, you have to take a vacation now. You have to put down kind of a psychological marker and take a vacation. And for anyone who's been through cancer treatments, they know how completely draining it is. So I really was ready for a vacation. And we were finally able to take one around March. So we had gotten Huck around Thanksgiving, and now it was March, and we were going to go on vacation. We were going to leave Huck with my sister, who lives in the northwest corner of Bergen County in New Jersey. It's at the foothills of the Ramapo Mountains. And my sister and her husband have had many, many dogs and animals, and we thought that was the perfect place for Huck to be, and they were very eager to have him come stay with them. They have a fenced-in yard and a house and all of that, so we thought this will be great. So we drove out to New Jersey and left Huck, which was very, very hard to do. Separation from him was very difficult. We left Huck with my sister and her husband and their daughter, and we went to Florida to go to Yankees spring training. And it was really a perfect vacation. I mean, once I got over sort of the missing of Huck, you know, mm-hmm. longing for him after we left him in New Jersey and got on the plane and everything, we were all very excited, and it was a perfect vacation. The Yankees were playing the Red Sox the first night we were there. It was absolutely perfect. The Yankees won.
Hey,
so for all you Yankee fans, that was a really good night. And the next day we were going to go to another game, and as we were getting ready for the next game, my cell phone rang, and Michael, my son, said to me, "Mom, don't answer it. It's probably the paper, because when you work for a newspaper, you get called all the time."
Right.
So I saw that it wasn't the paper, that it was my sister Barbara. I could see on the caller ID. And I picked up the phone, and we got the horrible news that Huck had run away that morning. He, by that point, had been missing for about 6 or 7 hours. And it was utterly, utterly wrenching news. So there was no question about what we do. What we would do. We dashed out of the hotel and went to the airport and got what turned out to be the last plane out of Tampa to New York, and then drove out to New Jersey to begin a many days search for Huck.
Right, and Huck was gone for 72 hours, right?
That's right. That's right. Now, keeping in mind, this is a tiny. He weighed only 8 pounds. So this is a very tiny dog now loose in the foothills of the Ramapo Mountains. There were wild animals, birds of prey, all kinds of things. So there was not just the risk of him being hit by a car, and it was also very cold or freezing to death. There was the risk from all of these predatory animals. You know, there were bears and all kinds of things.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I tell people all the time, I do a lot of work with people that have missing pets and trying to locate them and bring them back home. And you know, I tell them those first few days, 2-3 days, are critical, because after that, the animal really turns into their survival instincts, trying to locate, you know, places for food and shelter, et cetera. And when you're in the wilderness like that, when you're in the woods, not only do you have those predators, but you also have the climate and the conditions. There's very few homes perhaps around, so the challenge becomes much more intense.
Absolutely, absolutely. Those first days really are critical.
Yeah, now we're going to go into a commercial break here just briefly, and then we're going to come back with Janet Elder to talk a little more about Huck. So everybody stay tuned. We're going to come right back. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Sit. Stay. We'll be right back after a short pause. Well, 4 to be exact.
We really love pets. There isn't anything we won't do to make sure they're getting the best products and the best care. So when you ask us a question like,
"So how do you feel about cat condos?"
we can say from experience,
"Feels like home for her."
Enter the code LUCKY10, LUCKY, the number 10, and get 10% off any order. No minimum at petco.com.
There's a movement afoot. ShoeBuy.com. Join the millions of people who shop ShoeBuy.com's over 400 brands and 500,000 products. Order now and get free shipping and free return shipping. ShoeBuy.com, the world's greatest shoe store.
Walk your dog in style and comfort. Enter the code LUCKY, L-U-C-K-Y, at checkout and get a 10% discount plus free shipping at ShoeBuy.com.
Would you like your business to reach out and invite in our audience? We have a brand new trademark concept called InfoSeeds. InfoSeeds are short 20-second seeds of information about your place of business, practice, or service. It's the best, most cost-effective way to invite us in. We only have a limited number of slots left. For more information, visit the website
PetLifeRadio.com.
Click on sponsorship information. There you can listen to a sample of InfoSeed. Remember, only a limited number of opportunities are available.
Hi, I'm Angelina. Join me for some great training tips to live a happy, healthy, peaceful life together with your best friend. And by the way, they're not the only ones that learn something new. Join me for Teacher's Pet on Pet Life Radio.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets
on Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
All right, welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. We're here talking to Janet Elder about her wonderful book, Huck, the remarkable true story of how one lost puppy taught a family and a whole town about hope and happy endings. Now, before break, we were talking a little bit about coming back from Florida, cutting your vacation short, flying back, setting forth to find Huck. And as we mentioned, Huck was missing for 72 hours. What during that time, it's very traumatic, obviously. You're anxious. You don't know what to do. Are you doing too much, not enough, et cetera? How did you keep yourself motivated? How did the family keep motivated to keep the search up and trying to determine what to do to locate Huck?
Well, I think it was our love for each other and our love for Huck that kept us going. And we did what probably a lot of people do. We made hundreds of signs and posted them absolutely everywhere. We were outside talking to people who were commuting into work, talking to them about, you know, whether or not they had seen him. We stopped every stranger we could. We went into stores and posted signs. I think by the time we were done, the town of Ramsey, New Jersey was absolutely plastered with signs, as well as the neighboring towns. We put an ad in the local newspaper. And to our astonishment, we were aided by many, many of the townspeople in Ramsey. All of these strangers, from the police chief to firemen to school children to shopkeepers to neighbors, they all came out to help us. All these people that we had never met before were suddenly our closest friends and were helping us in our desperate search for Huck.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? In times of challenge, how we actually step up and show our true hearts and true nature, especially when you're talking about when an animal's in the picture here as well.
Absolutely. Everyone who owns a pet knows how terrible that feeling is when you know that your pet is missing, or for people who haven't lost a pet, you know, the thought of losing a pet is just wrenching. But even people who didn't have pets or had never had that experience were helping to find Huck. It was just out of the goodness of their hearts.
Yeah, I think that's a great thing. And I tell people all the time, when you know, you do have a missing pet, God forbid that happens to you, but when it happens, you have to do all the things that you just mentioned. It's more than just putting some signs on the street corners or handing out some flyers. You really have to get people involved. And as you said, it's amazing. You think, well, it's going to be hard to get all these people involved because why do they care about Huck? Why do they care about your situation? But in real life, people do step forward and they're more than willing to help.
People do. People are really good and really are willing to put their own daily needs aside to help a stranger in need. And I think you have to also think about where in the community where your pet is lost, where do people go? The supermarket is one place they go, to church maybe another place that mm-hmm. they go. You have to think about the regular spots people go, the gas station, and these are some of the places where you want to make sure you've got a lot of coverage with signs and word of mouth.
Absolutely. Go to where the hotspots are. And church is a great one, churches and schools, because people not only go there, but often they have emails and websites and things of this sort that they will be more than glad to post something on or send an email blast out to their congregants or the students and families. So
There was a nursery school in that town that the head of the nursery school took one of the flyers and blew it up and put it in their window. And it was because she had done that that we had a call about the first sighting of Huck.
There you go. So those extra efforts, that's a great, great idea for the people that have this type of situation. Now, let me ask you this. Now, Huck strikes me as a happy-go-lucky dog. Now, is that his mentality? Does he seem to just roll with the flow? And did this experience change him at all?
You know, it was remarkable. After 3 days, he was just the same mischievous, incredibly sweet and loving dog that he had been when he ran away. So I don't think that it changed him. And he's just got a wonderful, wonderful personality. He loves people. He can't get enough of them. He's very sweet and very smart and just enormous fun to be with.
That's amazing. Yeah. So he probably just turned to you and looked at you like, oh, there you are. Oh, welcome back.
Well, you know, he was, for all of those people who read the book, they'll see that there were several near misses, you know, several times when we saw him and almost got him and then didn't. And I think that there were times, you know, poodles, he's a toy poodle. Toy poodles are a little bit of a skittish breed. And so I think there were times when he was frightened by the car headlights or just confused, you know, those kinds of things. So it took a little bit of doing, but the reunion was ecstatic.
Oh, fantastic. I love it. Now, let me ask you about the book in general. Now, you said that everybody was encouraging you to write a book about this, And this is your first book, correct?
That's right.
Okay. So you got your first book out there. You decided, okay, you know, get everybody off my back. I'm going to write this book. And you put together this wonderful book and you put it out there. And all of a sudden it gets all this wonderful attention. And it gets nominated on Oprah Winfrey's O Magazine, one of the 16 recommended books for dog lovers. And you're going on national TV talking about the book. How has that experience changed you? I mean, did you have any fathom that all this great stuff was going to happen?
I really didn't. I think that the book has only – having the book out there, it has just deepened my affection for strangers. And my belief in the kindness of strangers. I've had so many letters from people, women who've had breast cancer or people who've wrestled with cancer in their lives. I've had a lot of letters from children who are, you know, somewhere between 12 and 14. I had a letter from a woman who lives in Pennsylvania who told me she had grown very cynical about life and about other people, and that the book restored her hope. And those kinds of things have been so heartening to me. I had a letter from a young boy who sent all in capital letters, "I love this book," and said that he was going to, he said, "I might even read it twice," and and then said that he was going to rename his cat Huck. And those kinds of things are very gratifying to me.
Absolutely.
You know, going on TV is fun, but those kinds of things are much more rewarding.
Yeah, the impact behind it. You know, when you put a story down, whether it's online or whether it's in a book. I know when I put out my book, first book, it was a compilation of stories, and I thought, well, it'll be fun. People will have fun with them, but how it impacted their life or how they can compare it to their own animals and own experiences still amazes me to this day.
Yeah, yeah. It's really wonderful when you think that you've had some kind of impact on other people's thinking or even just made them happy for a day, you know?
Absolutely. Now, I saw on YouTube, you got a wonderful video there. Of course, you have a clip of some of your appearances on the TV talk shows, David Letterman Show, et cetera. And you've got a wonderful YouTube video on there as well, talking about the book and experience. But I saw an interesting comment on there that says, what about turning Huck into a movie? Anything you can share with us there?
We'd love to turn Huck into a movie. Anyone who'd like to do it, give me a call. Many people have said that it's a very visual story and would make a great movie. So it'd be wonderful to do that.
Absolutely. I could definitely see it into a movie or a TV, you know, on TV, as well as the Huck, the children's books, you know, turn it into additional stories or additional tidbits about dedicate just to children would be a great way to go.
Absolutely.
Now, this is going to be probably a tough question for me, but I'll throw it out there. Since Huck has meant so much to your life and he continues to impact your life every day, what would you say is the most important impact that Huck has had on your family?
That's a really good question. I would say, and I don't know what my son and husband would say, but I would say that like many families, we were all very, very busy and had so much going on in our lives. And there's a tendency to just become very absorbed with what's happening with you. But a dog, and in our case, Huck, has a way of bringing the focus out of you and onto him. So there's just this source of love that is in the center of everybody's life that they all share. It's just a wonderful thing.
Yeah, it brings the, I mean, even to the closest family, it'll bring them even closer when you have an animal in your life, I believe.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's amazing. I reflect back on my life. You know, we grew up in a very small house, so we just didn't have the opportunity to have too many animals around. But and my dad was a great man, but very you know, you go to work, you come home, you know, you take care of the family type of thing. But boy, as soon as we all grew up and moved out on our own, wouldn't you know it, he brought a Pomeranian into his into his life, and the Pomeranian sit on his lap constantly. I'd go home sometimes and say, "Who is this man? I don't know who this guy is."
That's kind of fascinating, people who get dogs or pets of some kind later in life.
Yeah, you know, some people will do it as a sort of a surrogate. Now the kids are gone. This is my chance to nurture. Others find it the opportunity finally, because life, as you know, with kids is busy enough, jobs is busy enough. Then you put a dog in there. Now you've doubled your time you have to spend dedicating yourself. So some people will wait till later in life to do that as well. But you know, I always encourage people to, if you can do it, bring them on and bring them on often as you can handle, because that's just more love that's going to be shared.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, once again, we're talking to Jana Elder about her book, Huck. You can find out more about it at huckthebook.com. Any other things you want to share with us today?
I would just encourage people to not give up hope when you are facing a very difficult situation or when you're looking for your lost pet.
Keep the faith, stay positive about everything, and putting that positive energy out there will definitely help you overcome. Yep, great words of advice. Well, Jana, I want to thank you for coming on to Animal Rights on to Pet
thank
Life
you.
Radio. We look forward to everybody getting a copy of the book, Huck, and any of you television and movie producers listening in, get a hold of Jana. I want to see this movie, Huck the movie. Jana Elder, thanks for coming on to Animal Rights.
Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, we're coming to the end of the show today, so I'd like to thank everybody for listening in to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. I want to thank Jana Elder for coming on board and telling us about her book, Huck, and all the experiences she's had in her life. Just a fantastic book, so I encourage everybody to pick up a copy and read that. So thanks for Jana Elder for being on my show today, and thank you to the sponsors and the producers for making this show possible. To find out more about me, Tim Link, and other guests that I've had interviewed on the Animal Rights Show, and the stories in my blog, check it out at Pet Life Radio. Go to PetLifeRadio.com, click on the Animal Rights icon, and read the blogs and listen to the shows. And while you're at it, be sure to check out all the other hosts and shows and blogs that we have on Pet Life Radio. If you have any questions, comments, ideas for the show, or any guests you'd like to see on the show, please send me an email at tim@petliferadio.com. That's tim@petliferadio.com. And I'll be glad to answer any questions you've got, entertain any comments and ideas you have, and I'll do my very best to get the people on that you want to hear the most. So until next time, write a great story about the animals in your life. Share it in a blog, article, or book. And who knows, you may be the next guest on Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Have a great day.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.